right, Ephesians chapter 1. Somebody said the whole church was to meet at Kentucky Fried Chicken after church, and Joe and Stacy was paying for it. Sounds good to me. Anyway. And then y'all pray, and I'll have a talk with Brother Allen after church about too much information. Some things just don't need to be told, amen? Okay, all right. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look in the book this morning, see what the Lord have for us. Good to be saved this morning, ain't it? Amen. And that's really what we're going to talk about, the fact that it is good to be saved, why it's good to be saved. And right along with the idea of Father's Day, we're going to talk about what it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your mercy, for the privilege that it is not just to preach, but to come to church and, God, take part in a worship service, God, in a learning service. And we pray, God, that you would help us to both worship you and to learn from you and to be affected and changed by you. Well, thank you, God, for everything that you do here this morning. I pray, God, that you would lighten the eyes of the believers and also, God, enlighten anyone that hasn't been saved, any that may not know you as their Savior. I pray, God, that you would help them, teach them, instruct them, God, show them the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives. And I'll thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, here in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to preach to you out of Ephesians 1 this morning and 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening. I think these are really probably two of the premier passages in the New Testament. A lot of things can be learned in these two passages of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 especially. If you don't know Ephesians chapter 1, then I recommend that you study it, that you memorize it, whatever you can do, because there's a lot of things here that will help you, not only in your present situation, but it'll give you a lot of stuff to build on in for your future as a Christian, as a father, as a teacher, whether you're going to be a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or just a dad that loves the Lord. Makes no difference which one of those roles you're in. You're going to need the essential fundamental truths that make up the doctrine of salvation. You need those. You need those first. You need to build on those as much as you can. It's wonderful to shout and holler and scream. It's wonderful to do all that stuff. It's good to know about all these different doctrines that the Bible affords. It's a big book. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's great to know it all. But you need to know the first things first. Amen. That's why they invented that little saying, first things first, because that's actually the way to go about things. And you need the milk of the word before you can start eating meat. Amen. The milk of the word. And so that's what we're really going to talk about here this morning, the basis of salvation and the basis of that truth. So he says in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great verse, and it actually shows up in all of Paul's epistles, from the book of Romans all the way over to the book of Philemon, and some of the other apostles start their books the same way. And it's always been a blessing to me. He starts here in Ephesians. He says, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, he says, to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. But if you go to the book of Corinthians, we know that that church is supposed to be representative of a carnal church. They don't have all their ducks in a row. And if you go to the book of Galatians, they've got some false teachings going on in their church. But to the church that has some of their doctrines messed up and to the church that's living a real carnal life, he starts them off the same way. Grace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Whatever situation you're in, no matter how far you are from God or no matter how close you are to God, whatever case you find yourself in this morning, there's a way back. There's a way closer. Amen. You might be living a carnal Christian life right now, but there's hope. Amen.
Amen.
There's hope. The Bible says all of us are tempted the same, but all of us people who are being tempted have been provided with an avenue of escape. Amen. And that's a great truth. That's a great thing that we ought to be excited about. But he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here, the text verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us. I believe the Lord's worthy to be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. If the Lord has saw fit through his grace to bless us, I think we ought to see fit through at least obligation to bless him. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, there's a lot of ways to do that. There's with your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's that way. There's praying. That shows you're dependent upon him. That blesses him. Amen.
Yeah.
Nothing blesses a father more than seeing a son or a daughter come to him and say, Daddy, will you help me with this? Now, if that's a bother to you, you need to get your head straight, amen?
Right.
If it bothers you when one of your little children come to you and need your help, I mean, that shows that something's wrong with you. You don't have the attributes of a father. But our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they've put themselves in a position to be helpful to us. That's access by the grace wherein we stand. That's a great thing. So he says, blessed be the God and Father. Now, it's great to bless with our mouths. I don't mind a little excitement in church.
Amen.
Don't mind that a bit. I always look with a little bit of worry on the man that is excited about football but not about God.
Amen.
When they first started out, you know, George Whitefield preaching up through these northern parts of the country here, and people began to shout and holler at church services, which is about where that started in America. People began to say, well, that's extremism. That's emotionalism. Well, listen, if you can be excited about football and basketball, surely you can be excited about being saved by the grace of God. Surely, I mean, listen, I've seen people do all kinds of fanatical things at a football game. Stand up and run across the football field. Hey, stand up and run across the field here once in a while, amen? Keep your clothes on. I recommend you do it with clothes on, but listen, if the world can be that fanatical about sports, we were picking the other day about these basketball players and who's the greatest. Listen, man, if you're 8 foot tall, you are not impressing me by dunking a basketball.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see Muggsy Bogues dunk a basketball. I want to see this fella right here, this second fella in. I want to see, he looks like he's about 4 foot tall. I want to see him dunk a basketball. If he could dunk a basketball, I would pay to see that.
Amen.
I mean, they've got this guy who weighs 500 pounds. Well, he's going to be our lineman. Of course he is.
Yeah. Why not?
Of course he is. I mean, you want to make football interesting, make all the linemen be 180 pounds, and then go from there.
Yeah.
Well, this guy ran 1,000 yards. Yeah, but his front line weighs 250,000 pounds.
Yeah.
How are you not going to rush 1,000 yards? People get so excited, and I like football. But if you're going to get excited about that, how about getting excited about your soul being saved?
Yeah.
Your sins being forgiven.
Yeah.
How about that, amen? This world got its priorities messed up.
Yeah.
People are paying $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 to go see somebody in a concert to sing. I mean, man, I got suspicions about, have mercy when we'll spend that much money to hear somebody else sing to us. But when we're not excited enough to even put a dollar in the offering plate to take part in a church service. It don't make much sense to me.
Amen.
Got a little bit quiet right there, but that's the truth whether you like it or not. I know most of you probably listening to George Jones. That's probably why you don't say amen on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you very much. That's the truth whether you like it or not. When I was a boy, our preacher used to tell us, you don't have a palate for godly things because it's like a little kid eating Little Debbie's cakes. He's not hungry for tomatoes and green beans and stuff like that after he's been eating Reese's Cups all day. You've been out there eating a bunch of junk, so when you come in here, your palate's messed up. That's what it is. It's hard. It's hard to bless God when you've been blessing Hank.
Amen.
Did you know the opposite of that would be true? It's hard to pray for 2 hours straight and go rob a bank.
Yeah.
Just, those kind of things just don't happen. Listen, we're going to go pull off the heist of the century, but first, let's pray. I guarantee if you get in a good prayer meeting, you're not going to go through with your plans, amen? You're just not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. And I was always suspicious about this country music stuff and this rock and roll stuff. I got caught up in it just like everybody else did, just like most of you are, got caught up in that stuff. But one day I was listening to a song, and this fellow was singing a love song, and the Lord says, why would a grown man be listening to another man singing a love song? No wonder homosexuality is rampant. I mean, we've got a generation of men been listening to other men sing love songs to them for the last 40 years. Amen. If you're a man, you're gonna sing to me. You better be singing about four-wheel drive trucks or Jesus. Something, amen. Don't seem to be about how much you love me. Amen. Is that right or wrong? I believe that's right. I believe that's sound logic. Amen. Well, I tell you what, we do, in all seriousness, have a problem with folks who just, their heart, their affection is not set on the Lord, and therefore they're not blessing Him. And now they're saying, bless me. Bless me. Oh, God, bless me. That's the chief prayer. And I have no problem with that prayer. We need blessings. We need help. We need healing. We need all these things. We need all these things. We certainly do. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray that way. But the reason that we pray, bless me, and we don't bless Him is because all the emphasis is on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless me, bless me. Well, in return for God's blessings, we're supposed to be blessing Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. See, it's a reciprocal thing. Yeah. He blesses us, we bless Him. He blesses us, we bless Him. Yeah. He blesses, and we love, it should be, we bless Him, and we would think that, but no, we love Him because He first loved us. He died for us. He came looking for us, and I'm not a Calvinist, but He did come seeking and save that which was lost. He was looking for us, and He found us, and He saved us, and He's been good to us, and He's healed us, and He's watched out for us when we made bad decisions. He's done so much for us, we just ought to just rear back once in a while and embarrass yourself just like somebody was about to score a touchdown or slam dunk a basketball and say, yeah, amen. Amen. But you couldn't do that because, man, somebody would see me. They done seen you. They'll think I'm silly. We already think you're silly. Everybody's already looked at you, and everybody's already judged you correctly. You're a nut.
Amen.
There's no use in trying to protect your reputation. You don't have one. Yeah. Matter of fact, if the truth be told, nobody knows who you are, and nobody's going to know who to talk about when we get home. That guy was pretty funny. Who is he? I don't know. A lot of people just have this inflated, everybody knows me, everybody's watching me. Man, if you said amen, nobody's even going to notice.
Amen.
You got this guy up here talking about things that ought never be talked about. They're not going to think about what you said. You think you saying amen compares with the discourse on fiber? It's going to be Matthew chapter 9. There's going to be the Sermon on the Mount and then the discourse on fiber. Yeah, that's not the way that's supposed to work. Amen. Amen. There's your commercial for the day. Nobody's going to care if you bless the Lord. Don't you feel like blessing Him? Don't you feel like you ought to? Amen. Well, listen, you know, a lot of sermons, a lot of Baptist sermons are just that way. Praise God. Hey, man, He saved us. And everybody, hey, man, now let's go home. But really, the sermon ought to go further than that. Ephesians chapter 1 goes further than that. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And it goes on to tell you what those blessings are. And a lot of people really don't bless the Lord because they really don't realize what all God has done for us, in fact. And God has done so much for it. God has done things for us that you've never thought you even needed to be done for you. Amen. If you knew all the mistakes that God kept you from and all the stuff that God kept you out of, you'd be thankful for that. If God just opened your eyes for just a minute and let you see what you would have got into if he would have let you, made some of those dumb decisions you were trying to make but he withheld you from, man, you would have room to shout right there. We can just take a little break right there and say hallelujah and glory to God. And somebody would run and somebody would shout. Then we'd all sit back down and get on with the rest of the sermon. Because there is a lot of stuff that you can know about. Some of the stuff you won't know about till you get home to glory and he presents them before you and tells you. I mean, you're going to have plenty of time to sit down with him and he's going to let you know just how stupid you could have been. Amen. But at this point, there are plenty of stuff that in the Bible that is made clear that you can know and you ought to know. And you ought to dwell on those things. And I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, and I'm not really trying to repeat myself. But I think that when we're talking about music and when we're talking about television, when we're talking about all these things, you call it entertainment, but really what it is, it's a distraction. It's things that take you, anything that takes your mind away, your heart away, your love away, your attention away from the things that God really wants to do in your life and really wants to establish in your life, those things are a distraction. Those things are hurting you. Amen. That's why, you know, we're talking about all the evils and how they intended the music. I understand. I've heard those sermons since 1974. The biggest thing you need to realize is there's not enough minutes in the day. There's not enough. You don't have enough brain span to take in all the stuff that you want to take in and what you should take in at the same time. That's why you have to take a kid, and if you tell a kid, look at this thing and study this thing, he'll be here 3 seconds. And you got to turn his head back. And he'll be there 5 more seconds and he'll be looking over here and you got to turn his head back. And that's what it is, man. There's so much stuff out there to distract the Lord and the preacher and whoever else has to just keep turning your head back and say, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Be still. Have you ever watched over the shoulder of a little kid while they're trying to study? Pay attention. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention. But then turn on the television. Well, it's again, it goes back to the appetite. I must have this entertainment. This is wonderful. Well, there will be a place when you're so blessed and you're so happy and you're so thrilled about the things that God has done for you, you'll be looking at your Bible. And your wife will call you at 12:30. You better get some sleep. You got to get up. Yeah, 5 more minutes. You ever heard them say that, TV? 5 more minutes, Mom. Take a ball bat and that'll settle those 5 more minutes. Amen? But you better get to bed. I mean, you're going to hurt your eyes studying in that week. Like, you better get to bed. You got to get up early in the morning. You'll feel bad all day tomorrow. Yeah, but it's so good tonight. Amen. Have you ever felt that way about the Bible? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been reading that Bible and just looking at the passage that you just read and say, someday I'm going to preach that sermon? One of these days I'm going to preach. I got to listen now, but one of these days when they finally turn loose, I'm going to take that chapter and that verse and I'm going to wrap it around the head of that guy back there because I know that verse is exactly what he's been needing. So, well, I don't really like that kind of preaching. That's the kind of preaching I like. I mean, take a verse and beat me with it. Wrap it around my head. Choke me with it. Knock me out with it. That's what it's for, man. This book is for my correction. Amen. A lot of these things get corrected. When you get something corrected, it feels good. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Have you ever had a vice, an addiction, and then woke up 10 years later and it was gone and God has been so good to you? You think, man, thank God I don't need the needle today. Thank God I don't need the smoke today. Thank God I don't need to look at that old junk on the computer today. Thank God, man, thank God. The part you're paying attention to is a preacher going, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And that's abrasive and that's just gritty and you don't really like it because you're a rebel. But man, when you wake up 10 years later and you're thinking, man, I could still have been in that. I could still been doing that. I could still be in that life. I could still be. Man, listen, In the Christian life, there's prostitutes that hadn't prostituted in 20 years. There's dope addicts that hadn't doped in 20 years. There's drunkards that hadn't drunkard in 20 years, amen. There's cussers that hadn't said a cuss word in 20 years. You say, well, that's no big deal. It is to us filthy mouthed Marines, amen. It's something. That's something, man. Something. There's pornographers that hadn't looked at pornography in years and years. And I just say this, I shouldn't even say it like that, because you go to these Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and you got these fellas that hadn't took a drink in 20 years, and they stand up and say, my name's John and I'm an alcoholic. I got news for you. My name's Mike and I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a drunkard. Not a drunkard. Been delivered, amen. Been delivered. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you get help. I will say that. But you don't get delivered.
Amen.
You don't get deliverance until you can say, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
In Christianity, you get born again, man, you can bless the name of Jesus because you got delivered from it. Amen. Got delivered from it. Amen. I'm not talking about foolishness and not being circumspect and watching out in everything you do. You're all going to face temptations. But, man, when the Lord's delivered you from something, he's delivered you from it. Praise his name about it. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, he tells you what some of these blessings are. They're spiritual blessings. And let me just point out the difference, the contrast. When you turn on the radio or the television, most of the time, what you're going to get from religious programming is physical things. Just pushing you towards these physical things. If you want to get money, then you need to give. And I mean, it's just geared that way. It's just geared that way. Well, if you got a God big enough, just give, and whatever he decides to give back to you or not, just let it go at that.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in that kind of God. Amen. I mean, God can do whatever he wants to. He is going to do what he promised. But it seems to me that emphasis has something to do with it. Where's your emphasis at? I mean, if God has blessed me and I'm trying to be a blessing back to him, why does that have to be an exchange thing? I mean, a person shouldn't have to be convinced to say, hey, now you fill up this envelope with money and then put it in the plate and then God will. Why does it have to be coercive that way?
Right.
Why can't it be, look, here, you take this, and if God lays on your heart to give something, you give it, and then you and God will work out that blessing, amen? Why can't it be like that? Why can't it be that way? I mean, I understand that there's rules. I understand that there's biblical principles. But the best biblical principle that you're ever going to work out in your life is when you get it down here that, hey, God has done a work in my heart, and if there is no commandment to tithe, I'm going to tithe. If there is no commandment to go to church on Sunday, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. If there is no commandment not to covet, I'm not going to covet. If there was never a commandment at all, God has done a work in my life that I just want to work out now. Amen? I don't need, listen, it's not really, I could go to the bar tonight. Nobody's stopping me. Amen? I could smoke a cigarette today. Nobody's stopping me. I could shoot up today, nobody's stopping me. But listen, Jesus hung on the cross and died for my sins, was buried, and he didn't just raise from the dead. He rose from the dead and took residence in my soul. Now listen, I think I'll do something else today besides smoke cigarettes and shoot up and go back to the bars. I got other things. I got better things to do now because I want to. Because I want to. All you Christians are big slave down to the church. No, I'm here voluntarily. Amen. I didn't need the draft. I didn't need no coercive. I signed a contract myself. Amen. Didn't nobody say, hey, we're going to draft you into the church? No, I enlisted. Amen. When I enlisted in the service, I enlisted the year before I had to go.
Yeah.
I enlisted early. I didn't want to lose my spot.
Amen.
11th grade, got in 11th grade, went and signed the contract. I'll be there. Soon as graduate, I mean, what I'm talking about is volunteers.
Yeah.
Volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Here because I want to be. Here because there's a cause.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a blessing. When you see the cause for which Christ died, that's something to fight about. You know, there's been a shift over the last 20 or 30 years in the military. And every time I hear it now, I hear, and I've read a lot of stuff and seen a lot of stuff about just the modern mentality. And what happens now is in these little engagements, somebody gets killed in one of these combat zones, and for the next couple of 3 weeks, that military unit will pull back and they'll just do nothing because they're grieving over this fellow that they lost. They're in shock now because the mentality that they're teaching them in the training, it's about the man next to you. It's about, what happens when the man next to you is gone?
Yeah.
Now you're in shock. You know what they fought for in 1776? A cause. You know what they were fighting for on the sands of Iwo Jima when there was more killed in 1 hour than there's been killed in the last 20 years in these conflicts they're in right now? You know why they kept going and they weren't? They were fighting for a cause.
Yeah, that's right.
They looked at their friend next to them and they said, that man's fighting for a cause and we're going to have to die for this cause. That's what we're here for, to die.
Yep.
They say, well, Marines are crazy. They run towards the sound of the bullets. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
That's what we signed up. We didn't sign up so we could go to college later. We signed up to die.
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? You signed on to become a Christian? Because Jesus died, and the first thing He asked you to do was to die.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know why most Christians aren't serving the Lord? Know why most Christians aren't blessing the Lord? They didn't sign up to die.
Yeah.
They signed up to get their big toe healed.
Yeah.
If my big toe hurts, I want it healed.
Yeah.
I'm not talking bad about that, but that's a benefit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Right.
That's good
preaching. He said, I'm not the one that's living now. He said, it is me, but he said, the stuff that I'm living for now is for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You ought to bless him that way.
Amen.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Listen, how many of you like to be, I got to get on with this sermon, I'll be preaching all day. I think you preach up day, all day up north and maybe you get stoned or something like that, amen? But I don't know. You ought to come to church to get something, amen? But I won't keep you all day, but I will point these things out. You know what most people are looking for, especially these young folks? They're looking to be included.
Yeah.
Amen. Included. We're talking about a cause. Well, you see some great cause and you want to get involved and they won't let you. If I were to go out there on Sunday night, none of these guys, I think they play ball out here on Sunday night, don't you? You know, ain't none of these guys going to be chomping at the bit to get me to play. Just not going to happen.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm not included.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a good ball player.
Yeah.
Never been a good ball player. Never going to be a good ball player. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
But you know, just looking at it from that vantage point, you see these little kids running around, and if two or three are playing dodgeball, they all want to play. And you go to school, you know, you go to these schools around here and two or three people are wearing Jordans and they all want to wear Jordans. Kids just want to be included.
Yeah.
And I got a sneaking suspicion that when little kids grow up to be an adult, they're still looking around going, I really want to be included.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's why y'all dress alike and wear the same cologne.
Yeah. Amen.
And get upset when somebody's got a better dress than you.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to be included. You want something of your own, too. That's why you get mad when somebody comes in and sits in your seat. It's not your seat. It's God's seat. Amen. Find another seat. They got speakers you can hear from all over the building. You can go sit in the kitchen, watch it downstairs. You ain't got to be. But people are just, I want to be included. I want to get my own ground. I want to be included.
Amen.
Well, you know, one thing you can bless God about, one thing you can be a blessing toward God about is He said He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not talking about you as an individual. When He says God chose, listen, what does He say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Look, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us. You're sitting in a blessed group here this morning. You say, why? Because my name is John and I was chosen before the foundation of the world. No, because you're a believer and God chose believers before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Listen, He didn't choose the righteous. He didn't choose the holier than thou.
No, right.
He didn't choose the princes
That's right.
or the princesses. He didn't choose the people of advantage. He didn't choose the people. He just chose people that believe. And you can be out of any one of those groups.
Sure.
Matter of fact, if you want to look at it point blank, He chose the sinners that would call themselves sinners.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Woe is me. I'm a sinner. Paul the Apostle said, I'm the chief of sinners. Some preachers today got the idea they ain't never sinned. I talked to a Pentecostal preacher one time, and we got into this theological thing that young people usually get into with other preachers and stuff. And he said, I hadn't sinned since I got saved. I said, you hadn't? I was going to ask him if he was named Jesus or something like that because I never met somebody that hadn't sinned ever.
Yeah.
Amen. There's not a person in this building that hasn't sinned since you got here this morning.
Amen.
You come to worship but end up proving you as a sinner.
Yep.
That's just the way that it is. And God chose you.
Amen.
He said, well, just for believing, just for believing. He only spent the last 4,000 years before he came and died for us. He only spent the first 4,000 years proving that there wasn't nobody that really was looking for him no way. Just looking for their own deal, justify themselves. So the Lord said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll just come find somebody to believe in me, and I'll save them.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory, to the praise. When's the last time you even praised the glory of his grace? Praise God, man. God's grace. I mean, we're hard to be around and God would be around us. That's the definition of grace.
Yeah.
If you want to keep up this, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense, little Sunday school ditty that you teach to give, if you want to keep that, fine. But that's not what grace is. Grace is being around somebody when it's hard to be around them.
Yeah.
Grace is doing something that's contrary to your nature. God's nature is holy. Listen, you know why you don't knit socks? Because that's not your nature. I mean, the stuff that you don't do it because that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Everybody's not the same. Everybody's got the same. Everybody's got different hang-ups and pet peeves, and you don't do what you don't do because you don't like to do that. If somebody else wants to do it, fine. But being around somebody that's contrary to your nature, that's called grace.
Yeah.
And God did that for us.
Amen.
We're contrary to his nature. And he gets around it, and he abounds toward us in his grace. Didn't just give us some. He said in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Any person sitting in this building that's never even heard anything about the Lord or anything about Christ, if you're sitting here this morning and you're looking for something to be included in, let me tell you about a man who came before you knew who he was. And he came when you couldn't profit him in any way, shape, or form. He came when you couldn't do anything for him without telling you a thing about it, died in your place, suffered the penalty for your sin. And the only thing you have to do, God was looking for somebody before he even created the earth just to sit down and say, you know what? I believe that. I believe that. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him this morning, you're chosen. You're chosen. Many are called, the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But few are chosen. Somebody said Jesus died on the cross, therefore everybody's saved. No, they're all called, but they're not chosen. What's the difference? Do you believe or don't you? Well, I'm not sure about this Jesus stuff. Well, come back and talk to me when you're sure. You say, why? Because then you'll be accepted. Then you'll be accepted. It's just the way that it is. It's a great blessing. Amen. Those people who are accepted in the blood in whom we have redemption. Listen, if we've got 50 different opinions this morning, and if we've got 50 different ways of looking at things between you and I'm talking about the you people actually sitting on the pews. If there's a bunch of different viewpoints, one thing we can get together on is we're accepted in the blood. And in this group, we have redemption.
Amen.
He says, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. I don't like you, Brother Mike. Yeah, but we're brothers. We're blood brothers.
Yep.
Amen. 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 I don't like some of you either. Amen. It just goes both ways, don't it? You don't have to like everybody. Get over this fact that you got to like everybody. But you can love each other because you're blood bought by the same Savior.
Yep.
It's the first step in compassion, man. Look at this nut. Man, he's making a... Listen, people use that excuse so much to discount one another. Look at this nut. Look at this nut. I mean, why would I waste my time on this guy? Listen, why would God waste time on you?
Yeah.
And then look what he's done for you. Then you can start looking around. Well, I don't really like him. I'm not sure if I want to go to church with him. Well, do what God done and pray for him a little while.
Yeah.
And as you begin to pray for people that you don't necessarily care about, you don't like their lifestyle, you don't like the way they talk, you don't like the fact that they don't shoot guns, or you don't like the fact that they do shoot guns. I mean, listen, we got the news media pulling everybody apart in so many different, well, he's black, I don't like him. Well, I mean, you ain't too hot yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
This whole world is doing nothing but separating people into the little pods.
Sure is.
I said, well, I don't like them. Well, I don't like you neither. Well, I don't like you first. Well, I don't like you more.
Yeah.
What's that helping? You know what the greatest thing in the world is? To look at somebody, I think he needs something.
Yep.
I don't much like him.
Yeah.
I don't much like getting around him. Boy, start praying about that and start saying, now, God, would you help them? And the more you and God talk about their deficiencies, the more God is going to start talking to you about your deficiencies.
Yep.
And you're going to start looking at that person. You're going to start seeing yourself. You're going to see what you needed when God was looking at you. You're going to, that checklist that you're making about their life. Oh, they've got tattoos and they smell a little bit bad. And all these bad check marks you're going, God has made all those bad check marks about you. The more you pray about it, you say, well, God, they just don't love you like they ought to. And he'll say, neither do you.
Yeah.
But I had mercy on you.
Amen.
Well, they don't wear a three-piece suit to church like I do. Well, yours has a hole. You just got it covered up.
Yeah.
All this stuff we heap to ourselves praise and we heap on everybody else marks of disparagement and marks of discouragement. And they're never going to be any good and I've arrived. That's what you're thinking about. The more you pray for them and look at their needs, God's going to start opening the door to compassion. You're going to say, man, I want to see them. You know, I've been known to say some bad things about some preachers because, quite frankly, you ought to be able to open that book and get the truth out of it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yep.
Amen? If people that can't read can open the book and get truth out of it and learn to read out of it, man, you can open that book and get the truth.
Yep.
But let me tell you something. There came a time in my life, and I'm not changing my convictions. I'm not changing what I believe about the book. But there come a time in my life when I had to take all those preachers that I don't care much for and put them first on my prayer list and say, God, I want them to stand before you just with just as much rewards, with just as much approval, with just as much glory as you're going to give to me one day. Because quite frankly, they deserve it as much or as little. Either way you want to look at that equation, they deserve it as much or as little as I do. We're both people saved by the grace of God. And if you can't pray for the people that you don't especially agree with, you don't know anything about salvation yet.
Amen.
If you can't pray for people you don't necessarily like or love, or the people that you see faults in, next time I preach, I'm going to get them. If that's the sum total of your Christianity, you got a lot to learn.
Yes, sir.
Got a lot to learn. But listen, I said all that to say this. Once you learn it, once you learn how much God loves you and how much God put up with you, man, you're going to go over there and grab the guy you don't like.
Amen. Amen. I love you. Amen. Thank you, brother. I love you.
Hey, just don't sing me no song. Shut up.
Amen.
You need to talk to your family members.
Yeah, here you go.
Hey, listen, that's true. The Lord said if you can't love a brother that you have seen, how are you going to love God that you hadn't seen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, listen, it takes more than Sunday suits and nice-looking shoes to make a church service. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I recommend going back to overalls if that's what you got to do, but dress up your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Then you have something to praise him about.
Yeah.
Then you have something to bless his name about. Amen? Verse number 8. Verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. How can I preach a sermon this morning? Only in the fact that I'm forgiven. Forgiveness of sins ought to be the major theme in Christianity. We're forgiven. Have I done things that disqualify me from ever preaching a sermon? Yes, I have. Well, then how can you do it? I was forgiven.
Amen.
How can I go home tonight and bow my knee and ask God to help me? And how can I open a holy book that's really worth 10,000 times more than me and probably is if the Bible looks back at me, it's probably embarrassed.
Yeah.
But how can I do it? Because before I open it, I simply bow my head and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And I believe that. It's not just a voodoo spell that I'm casting. I say, God, forgive me with sincerity, and he forgives me and says, okay, open my book, son.
Yeah.
Amen.
And before I see a negative picture of anybody else, I see a negative picture of me. And then when I look out at a brother that needs preaching or a brother that's struggling with music or whatever it is you think I might be too hard about, I've seen that problem in myself, and I've seen God help me with those problems first.
Amen.
Amen. And so he says in verse 8, wherein, talking about this forgiveness, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God took his very best ideas and his very best intentions and his very best plans, and he leveled it on me like a howitzer and pulled the trigger. The very best plan he could have possibly come up with, he used that one and just put it on me. Amen. You say, what has it done? It took me from a household full of car thieves and drug addicts and motorcycle gangs and put me behind the pulpit.
Yep.
And if that weren't the case, he'd save me.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes we put great emphasis on callings and preachings and stuff like that. I'm glad to be here. It's a great result of his grace. But listen, if he just saved me, that'd be enough to bless him for. That'd be enough to bless him for. I'll let Brother Allen come and conduct the invitation. If you're not saved this morning, get saved. Get saved. If you've been wandering far from the Lord and you can't really get it in your mind why you used to love him, but now you're kind of cold, it's probably because you got your mind on other things besides these basic things about Christianity that caused you to love him in the first place. Would you get back to those things? Say, Brother Mike, I don't want to. Okay, will you do this? Whenever I don't want to do something that's right, I ask God, Lord, help me to want to do right. I recognize it as truth. Help me to want to do right. Would you do that? Would you do that? Lord, I don't feel like I really want to do the right thing. Would you ask him to help you do the right thing? Help you to want to. You get your want to fixed, and a lot of things will get fixed. Amen? Brother Allen, you come.